My topic, Christ the Lamb of God, and the scriptural reference point from which the lesson is developed is found in John chapter 1 and verse 29. Now, as you turn to that place in your scriptures, and as stated in the book that accompanies this series, it is impossible to have a topic of greater importance now or ever than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The whole world is lost in sin. And being from the San Francisco Bay Area, I get a very full eye of that almost every day. And God, through His Son, has provided the only hope that is available to man. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His description in the given text and throughout this series is one that we should never forget or allow the world to forget, because only through His gospel might there be salvation in this and following generations. Acts 4, verse 12. In John's passage, the Greek word that is used there for lamb has often been used to indicate a male sheep, 1 year of age, used in sacrifices. That lamb was to be without blemish, or from the Hebrew word, holy sound, which also conveys the idea of physically unblemished, as required throughout the scriptures, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. This word is used to describe Jesus on four occasions in the New Testament, John 1:29, John 1:36, Acts 8:34, where it is used in the phrase, like a lamb before his shearer. And also in 1 Peter 1:19, a lamb without blemish. The first point in the book, and the only one that I will reference in the lesson this morning, asks the question, what came to mind in the use of the metaphor, Lamb of God? Now, as you know, a metaphor is a figure of speech, a rhetorical device, basically, which is an expression used to refer to something that it does not literally denote in order to suggest a familiarity. Sometimes it is referred to in literary criticism as a trope. In the case here in John 1:29, the Lamb of God is a metaphor used in an intriguing way, because we know that Jesus, to whom John referred, is not literally a lamb in the sense of a four-legged animal. But He is, however, the Lamb who becomes the greatest sacrificial offering. Amen. When He uttered those words, Lamb of God, it is our question, our investigation. What was it that He intended or expected those who heard Him to understand? What wide associations might they have considered Him to be making about this man Jesus as the Lamb of God? That's the question. We know, as we have read and studied our Bibles, that the lamb was a very familiar object of sacrifice for the Jews. It was slain by every Jewish family at the Passover, was commonly used for a sin offering, Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 32. And the cleansing of the leper, Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 10, at both the morning and evening sacrifices, Exodus 29:38, and at all the great feasts on special occasions. When John pointed out Jesus not as a, but the Lamb of God, it can only mean that God Himself had provided Jesus as a sacrificial offering. The reference we'll come back to later, we are going to look at, is Genesis 22 and verse 8. Every lamb on Jewish altars pointed to Him. Isaiah in chapter 53 points out that He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Revelation 5 and 12. He is declared to be the Lamb that was slain. There is no escape from the reality that Jesus became a sacrificial offering for the world. This is entirely in harmony with a set of passages in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 that affirms that His blood cleanses us from all sin. We may never be able to fathom all of the complexities of the atonement, but it is reflective of our faith to accept and trust fully what is so clearly taught in the Scriptures. It is also seen that John, by inspiration, is enabled to grasp the magnitude of the Savior's work. He is to take away the sin, not of Jews only, but of the world. The main point in our lesson this morning comes directly from the text. And in that text, John chapter 1, verse 29, when we see the words that are printed there, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Let's look at that word, behold. And let's ask ourselves, as we look in the various lexicons and dictionaries, we look at that word, behold, and ask ourselves, what does it mean? We know from the various scholars' work that that word used means to perceive with the eyes, to understand, to pay attention to observe. Jesus himself, a few verses later in verse 39, says in a different context, come and see. Behold, come and see. To look for yourself, to look closely, to look deeply, to look seriously. To look with a certain dedicated concentration. John means for his disciples to consider, to think of Jesus Christ, to study him, to know all that you can about him. To look upon him, to look up and down. He is God. And John is telling his disciples and all of those who are there with him, he says, take your eyes off everything else. You do not need to see anything else. Nothing else in this world is worth seeing. Behold him. See how he takes your guilt, how he bears it, how he sinks under it and yet rises from it when he says it is finished. We think of those words and we appreciate now as the result of Jesus having done that work for us. Look to him, look up to him, and follow where he leads. John, the apostle, would later use evidence of his own testimony in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Our hands have handled the word of life. And it is our responsibility today and every day as we live on this earth as Christians to call on people to look at the evidence all around them. Jesus is Lord and Savior. It is our clarion call as well to behold the Lamb of God. The second part of that phrase is the Lamb of God. The very first thought that comes to mind is sacrifice for sin. Our reference point, as we said in this particular case, Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. And as you can read in your Bibles, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. You recall that conversation. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And we've often taught about this event in classes, and we talk about it from the standpoint of sacrifice, and we talk about it from the standpoint of faithfulness, and we talk about it from the standpoint of how much we love God above all else. And we recall this particular conversation. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And so they went, both of them, together. Now there we have the first occurrence of the English word lamb that's found in the King James Version of the Scriptures. It is in this story in Genesis chapter 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac, an event of extraordinary consequence, both as a narrative on the theme of sacrifice that's found throughout the Scriptures and in the importance of the advancing of what would be called embedded antitypes, pointing toward Jesus as the Lamb that God provided on the cross. runs through the Old and the New Testaments with regard to Jesus, the Lamb to come. And in the Genesis 22 passages, we read where God commanded Abraham to take Isaac, whom he loved dearly, to take him into the land of Moriah, to offer him as a burnt offering to the Lord. And they reached that place. And when they reached that place, and we think about that when we talk about how much we love our children, we think about what was required. And this goes over as it transfers from what Abraham is asked to do but stopped to what God goes through with for us. Where is the Lamb? God provided the Lamb. In that particular case, of course, we know that there was the ram that was provided. And here we see that this points toward Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. This sacrifice, however, would not be like the types of the past. When we look at what takes place in the Old Testament and we see in the New Testament, it is described, Jesus' sacrifice is described as different. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. The Lamb of God that John refers to, different from the Old Testament, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Indeed, when John speaks of Jesus, he speaks of the true Lamb chosen by God. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. As we go through these passages, what you recognize is that there is nothing that I can tell you this morning that you do not already know, that is new, that is unfound. But rather, we are reaffirming what the Scriptures have always revealed. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Tremendous responsibility placed on Jesus Christ. Lamb came to be the sin offering. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 14. He shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering. A lamb without blemish. Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. The lamb had to be unblemished. And Christ is presented as the man without sin throughout the Scriptures, perfect and acceptable to God as an unblemished sacrifice. We point toward this in the book on several occasions, but just a few verses that provide the evidence of this for us in the New Testament, Luke chapter 23 and verse 4. I find no fault in this man. Luke 23 and 41, this man has done nothing wrong. John 8 and 46, which of you convicts me of sin? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, tempted in all things, yet without sin. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Paul affirms, he who knew no sin, the Lamb of God without blemish. What is the purpose? That question will be asked, what will be the purpose of the Lamb? We've talked about this in terms of sacrifice. He who became sin for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, he hath been made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who bore our sins on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. We think of those words that came from John, speaking to us of a Lord and Savior who, He says, behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He set us free from sin, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This story is a long story. Story that we know begins in the book of Genesis, ends in the book of Revelation. We see in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, after sin came into the world, men were alienated from God. It's God's will that men would offer animal sacrifices and make amends. And God, we think back to Abel offering the lamb as an acceptable sacrifice. Hebrews 11 verse 4, that through this sacrifice Abel was considered righteous, we know that it is not through the blood of an animal. Because in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, it tells us that the blood of animals cannot take away sins. Behold the Lamb of God. Take a deep look at Jesus Christ. Consider Him seriously. Think about the responsibility that we have to seek out eternal salvation, the responsibility that we have as members of the body of Christ to present this information about Jesus Christ. And when we invite people to look at the Scriptures, we're asking them to behold, to look deeply, seriously, intently, focus primarily on whom? On the Lamb, on Jesus. Why? What does Jesus do? He, through His blood, takes away the sin. Something that we all need to be done. In all these passages, we learn what John means when he calls Jesus of Nazareth the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the sacrificing of innocent lambs before the coming of Christ, pointing the way to that day when the Son of God would die for the sins of the world. We ask a few questions as we move toward our closing this morning. If there are any who are here who are not members of the body of Christ, here are some questions if you are familiar with the Scriptures, some things to think about. If you had been able, would you have sacrificed one of your lambs to make amends for your sin? If you had been Abraham, would you have taken the ram that God offered and offered it instead of your son? If you were an Israelite in Egypt, would you have eaten the Passover lamb and smeared His blood on your doorstep? If you were an Israelite in the Promised Land, would you have been willing to bring a lamb and sacrifice it for your sins? Well, behold the opportunity that lay before you today. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And He offers you that opportunity once again. Thank you.